Your life today.
Prayers are still going strong, but hope is fading, sadly, for the missing miners. Even though there's drilling and gas levels are just way too high, that's the problem, trying to get into that West Virginia mine. So excited. Coming up in another 10 minutes, we're going to talk with just a fabulous guest here on America Tonight, sadly under rough circumstances, but Homer Hickam, as he has joined us many times in the past, we've been lucky enough to chat with him. He, at one point, was a miner. As you know, he's went on to great fame with October Sky, a.k.a. Rocket Boys, and a slew of other wonderful things that he's written. And he absolutely knows about the West Virginia area and the mines and certainly what it's like for the people who are dealing with this disaster as it rolls into yet another day. So it'll be interesting to get his take on what it was like as a former miner, what the thoughts are like. In fact, even his most recent novel, Red Helmet, was all about that, as he grew up in a very small town, Colwood, West Virginia, very close to where this explosion was. So again, that's coming up in another 10 minutes here on America Tonight. That's not the only big story that's creating water cooler buzz across the nation. A big scare as a man from Qatar, a diplomat who may have been smoking, was actually caused a stir on an airline. He was held down by the feds, the air marshals, on a flight from Washington to Las Vegas. So here we go with the smoking in the bathroom. But was there something more to this? There was another airline incident that we're going to talk to as well, and plus the latest on Hamid Karzai and whether or not there's going to be a meeting in May between Karzai and President Obama. Very worrisome what's happening in Afghanistan. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, of course, the name of the show, coast to coast and everywhere in between and all the nooks and crannies. Occasionally we talk with my pal Mike Davis about things related to the sports world. And as many of you know, we had another one of our nail the scores in the last couple of weeks for the big tournament. Unfortunately, nobody was able to nail the scores. We didn't have any big winners. It's interesting because I've got even better prizes to give away. So we have more contests that we're going to roll out for you. But Duke wins the whole thing. Butler was the Cinderella story. They almost pulled it off, couldn't do it. So, as you know, in the books, Duke crowned king once again, and the little school that could certainly got a lot of publicity, and they had us excited about that game, but just couldn't do it. Mike, I'm sure you were watching the college hoop finale as well, and boy, wasn't that an exciting finish?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a low-scoring game, but it was exciting, and, you know, Butler, like I said, they almost pulled it out. They had the Butler play. You know, is Gordon Hayward. He launched an attempted three-point, and it bounced off the glass and bounced off the rim and onto the floor. But they almost pulled it off there right at the end. Just Duke, they held up.
Boy, they sure did hold up. So college basketball's over, and, of course, the UConn women were incredible once again as they – pulled it out, and, you know, this team is, I mean, what can you say about them? What was it, 78 straight wins for them, and they knock off of Stanford this last time around, and certainly they deserve some credit, too. Did you happen to catch any of that or some of the replay?
Well, a little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing. I got, a little bit of it, but it was a good game, and, it's really exciting. I guess I'm concentrating on NBA right now. We're down to at the last four games, and everybody's locked for a playoff spot, except I guess in the East. The eighth seed is still up in the air, but I'm looking for Cleveland and the Lakers to be in the finals, but it could end up like the NCAA tournament and turn out to be Toronto and Oklahoma City playing.
Yeah, you never know. Exactly. I agree with you, though. I think it's LeBron and Kobe show all. I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see them in the finals, and that's what it's going to be built up to be, but who knows. On the ice, same thing. It's whittling down, obviously, as we're getting closer to the time that you play for the Stanley Cup, and fun to watch, but for people who are listening to us in Texas, the Texas team, the Stars, are done, aren't they?
Yeah, they're out of it. I mean, they got eliminated this last week. All the playoff teams are set in the Western Conference right now. In the East, there's still four teams on the bubble vying for the bottom three seeds, and all four of them are only separated by 3 points. And there's two more games, so I think the Rangers, they won tonight, and if the season was over, they'd be out, but they had to win tonight just to stay viable. But I'm looking for probably Washington and probably San Jose to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. But, you know, Chicago's looking really strong right now. The Blackhawks, they've got a 5-game winning streak, so, they could... they could pull it out too. They were real strong this last year, and they're strong again. Going, I mean, it's always good to peak at right before the playoffs or right into the playoffs.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And of course, the familiar swing of the bat. And look, I'm an offense person, looking for the home runs. Of course, I'm all about the Phillies, but Major League Baseball. All over again. It's a long season. It's always exciting. Opening day. A lot of people sent me emails that they had skipped work and went to different games. We're looking at what was coming up in New York and what was happening in Chicago and all over the country. It's exciting stuff. Are you a big baseball fan?
Yeah, well, probably not as much as, I like baseball, but it's not... to me, it's not as exciting as basketball or football or hockey. I mean, my favorite really is hockey, but this year it wasn't that. But I like to go out to the stadium and watch baseball. I mean, it's the all-American pastime. So.
Boy, so well said. All-American pastime, that's right. You can go with your buddies. You can bring kids. You can bring grandkids. It's I love it. I love baseball. But I grew up in all big four sports. But I like baseball, too. I love to go out to the games, especially some of those day games. Hey, you can catch tickets to anything that we were just talking about. Go to easy-ticket, easy-ticket.com for anything you want. Mike, thanks. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, Kate. You have a good evening.
Thanks, you too. All right, so a lot of exciting things happening in sports, and, the Masters is the big thing. You're going to see blowout numbers, not as big as the Super Bowl, I don't think, but a lot of people who could care less about golf because of what happened with Tiger Woods, I think are going to be paying attention to the Masters. Hey, Nike's not backing off their endorsement. If anything, they rolled out a brand new commercial for Tiger, so he's definitely the top storyline. Not about the other golfers or who could come out of the field and surprise you or any of that kind of stuff. All eyes are on Tiger Woods. Coming up next, we're going to talk more about, sadly, what's going on in West Virginia, the very latest that we have. It looks like now the air in the mine appears to be safe. Hang with us, Homer Hickam, around the bend.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America, the news is not good. You know, it's been a couple of days after the worst mining disaster in really a generation. We have to go back to the mid-80s. The methane gases that we were talking about, so dangerous, of course, with them percolating underground. It hasn't allowed the rescuers back into the upper Big Branch coal mine to search for those four possible survivors of the explosion that killed 25 workers. You know, crews were digging those holes deep into the ground trying to release the gas, but even late into the afternoon, it looks like it might be safe now. I just got word, but the levels of the lethal carbon monoxide, too, and methane, et cetera, far too high to send the rescuers to look for the last four guys. And what a shame, because, man, you know that they've got that oxygen that they would have gotten from one of the shaft's rescue chambers, and man, everybody was just praying for him and hoping that there would be at least some good news to come out of this. And you know, the mine's owner, Massey Energy Company, we've said this, they have been cited repeatedly for problems with the system in that whole venting the methane and allowing combustible dust to build up, and that was the problem here. So certainly the safety folks believe. Who better to have on this show? Sadly, as I mentioned before, the circumstances not as I would have liked, but Homer Hickam, who knows the coal mining industry so well. He's the best-selling author of a book I love, Rocket Boys, that, you know, was later turned into the movie October Sky. Homer is a former miner. We've talked about that with him in the past. In fact, the novel that I read, the most recent novel of Homer's I read was Red Hellman, and if you read that, you'll really understand this, and what a pleasure it is to welcome him under these tragic circumstances back to America Tonight. Hey, Homer.
Well, hey, Kate. Thanks for having me on again. It's always great to talk to you.
So you heard me talk about that. The problem with the methane gases and whatnot and the citations on this, you know, for this company. And now that's the focus is, wow, was it, and you can answer this question as somebody who was down there. Is it about safety first or profits first, or it depends on the company, depends on the situation? You know, what do you think?
Well, I think that any company owner that puts profit ahead of safety is an idiot, because that's the perfect way to not make a profit. If a company owner was so evil that he really did care more about the almighty dollar than the blood of his people, then he would not want to have an unsafe mine that causes accidents. Injuries and deaths cause mines to be shut down. Production is lost. So it's really much to the advantage of the coal mine owner, regardless of whether he's a good guy or an evil guy, to run a safe mine. So I have no direct evidence other than the reports about the citations that this mine was safe or unsafe. But what I can talk about is or comment about is that what we know for sure is that the Mine Safety and Health Administration, called MSHA, a very powerful regulatory agency of the federal government, has been paying over the weeks a lot of attention to this coal mine. They've had inspectors in and out of there, and of course anytime you have inspectors you're going to have citations. Why were they in and out of there? The reason is that this mine was working in an area that was very difficult. It was very deep. They were going after this very pure bituminous coal that's in there. It had a fractured roof, very difficult to hold up and maintain, and the coal was the type of coal that exudes methane in buckets. So they had a lot of problems working in that area. Why they were in there, of course, was to go after this very, very pure coal. Probably this is not coal for burning. This is coal to be shipped to China and India to make steel. So it's a very, very expensive coal to get. So that's all we know for sure. We're going to find out sooner or later exactly what happened there. Another fact about this, a lot of people haven't brought out, is that this happened during a shift change. And over the years, we've noticed that deadly accidents often happen during shift changes. And we don't know exactly why, but it could have something to do with the fact that you've got a tired team moving out while a fresh team comes in. There may be a poor changeover or handover. Some things might be missed. So those are the things that I know right now.
You're a former miner, so in looking at what we see today versus when you were in the mines, do you think the regulations are better? Do you think there are heavier regulations now versus what we're seeing here in 2010 versus when you were there?
Oh, absolutely. Mainly because of MSHA. Again, it's been given the responsibility by the federal government and all the states where there are mines to regulate coal mines. They educate miners. They have MSHA academies. As a matter of fact, there is probably the most sophisticated MSHA training academy not more than 50 miles from this site of the accident. They train miners, they train foremen, they train superintendents, they train owners, they train rescue teams, and they train their own inspectors who are charged to go out, inspect these mines, and make sure they're safe. And if they're not, most of these inspectors realize that they have the power, if not to shut the coal mine down itself, they can certainly shut down that particular operation if it's operating unsafe. So this has come out as a result of the accidents over the years. And finally, the federal government decided to step in. The coal companies agreed to it. And like I say, it's a very, very foolish coal company owner that doesn't cooperate fully with MSHA.
Homer, as I mentioned, you were in the mines, and in talking about the differences of before and what we see now, you know, the question I'm getting on America Tonight is, how could anyone go down to those mines? I mean, they know the danger. What's wrong with these people? Why are they doing this? And what are coal miners like, and what are their families like?
Oh, coal miners are wonderful people. They're really a special people, and actually, most of them really love their jobs. They're proud to be coal miners. It's a challenge for them. They're also highly trained. We're not talking about the pick and shovel guys like it used to be. Most of these guys are the equivalent of a general engineer. They have so much training. They start in a red helmet course. That's where the title of my novel comes from, which is an intensive course on the aspects of coal mining, including safety. And then they rise up through the ranks. The pay for coal miners is pretty good. Averages about $70,000 a year. Mm-hmm. A lot of these miners make over $100,000 a year because they are very specialized in what they do. They also love the country. They love those mountains that they live in, and so coal mining is their way of life, and it's their way of staying there. So you meet a coal miner, you'll never meet, usually they're just the nicest people in the world. They give you anything that they have. I'm so proud to be from coal country and having grown up there, and I always want to speak up for the coal miner, if you will.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I've come across many of my days, and my father grew up in Pittston, Pennsylvania, which was a little bit of a coal town, so I know what you're talking about. A little bit different than West Virginia, but still, there was some of that there as well. Quickly,
it's all a brotherhood, and now it's a sisterhood.
I know.
There are quite a few women miners, and they are very good and respected by the other miners as well.
Yeah. The Red Hellman Foundation, if somebody wants to give some money to that, and that is something that you started, and it's college scholarships for the kids of coal miners.
Yeah, I sure did. It's fully endowed for Marshall University, especially for kids of injured or killed coal miners. Folks, if they'd like to contribute to that, we could always use some more funds for this. They can go to my website, homerhickam.com. My last name is spelled H-I-C-K-A-M, so it's homerhickam.com. And there they'll see a little button where they can add to this scholarship fund at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. $5, $10, $20, whatever anybody can spare. Believe me, these are kids who desire a good education. They're willing to go work for it. So if we can help them out, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Homer, thanks for shedding some light on this. Homer Hickam, always fun to chat with you, and we look forward to the next time you visit us on America Tonight. Wow. Boy, that is tough, huh? What's happened in West Virginia, and the people and that's what's left, you know, the widows, the kids. I said this before. You see the signs, and he's got these, just picture these big signs, praying for our miners. And that's what it is. Will the last four possibly be part of a miracle bunch? I mean, who's to say? It's still possible. Coming up, we have odds and ends. Stay with us.
Are you prepared, or are you hardcore prepared? Get hardcore equipped at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested with Canadian and U.S. forces, so we know it's tough. What kind of gear? Our own brands. Arctic Warrior, Homeland Defender, Sandbox Avenger, Urban Peacekeeper. More than 30,000 products, and 90% of it made in Canada and the U.S. See it all at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. Get 72-hour survival kits, Ultima boots, HW1 gloves, tactical link slings, EMA tactical weapon equipment, everything you need to be hardcore prepared. Deal with TacTownGear.com personnel with more than 25 years' experience in military and law enforcement. Call now, 418-844-9111. That's 418-844-9111. Or go to TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Solutions for your area of operation.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
There's a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Kate Hagen with you across America here on ATN. And this, man, this is a first. I am so excited. Odds and ends. You ready for this? Oh, a Massachusetts 20-year-old kid nailed for texting while driving, and in fact, he was arrested. Now, let me explain a little bit deeper. And he's probably the first person, he's the first person in that state anyway to be arrested for doing that while he was driving. What happened was he was texting on his phone. He was going down Bridge Street in Pelham on Monday morning, right during the rush hour traffic, and an officer could see him. He was also driving with a suspended license, which was a bonus. What the cop observed is that the phone was at the steering wheel level. And, you know, you can be arrested for a violation. It's not the normal practice to stop people for something like that. I mean, usually you're talking about speeding or that kind of stuff. But he could see him clearly, so he was able to pull him over. That's always been the thing. Like, how can you catch someone texting? To me, it was, in a way, it's almost stupid. We don't want people to text because we don't want to be killed in car accidents because no one's paying attention. But at the same time, how are you enforcing that? Well, here it was in plain sight. So He's the first guy to get nailed for it, they think, $100 fine. And they're not tracking the whole texting while driving. There's not a statistic for that. So it's believed that he's the first one. But it might be a deterrent for some people. It might put it in some people's heads that you don't want to text. I mean, this is a huge national issue. And New Hampshire is one of 21 states with texting laws on the books. But enforcing the texting ban is part of that huge battle, I think. I mean, how do you see, they've got to train these officers. What are the signs of distracted driving? Well, there's lots of distractions besides texting. And, you know, it's just not socially acceptable to text behind the wheel. I mean, some people have said to me, look, texting is like drinking and driving. Do you think texting is like drinking and driving? I mean, there's the question, my friends. Has it gotten that bad? You can throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. Is texting as bad as drinking and driving? For what can happen when you're distracted? I mean, your eyes are off the road. Your eyes are off the road. There's no question. Unless you somehow have extra eyes, then there's no way that anybody can tell me they can text. I mean, you're using, especially if you're texting, you're using a handheld device, obviously. And, you know, tell me how that's possible that you're not endangering yourself and other people. However, I know that you can easily come down on this and say, oh, it's your big brother, and how do you enforce it, and what are you going to do? And, you know, you figure, cops in the car, what, they have a couple of computers, they've got radios and all kinds of things going on in their own car, so they certainly know about, distractions, as it were. I think there's a lot of people who just, I mean, they just don't care. They just don't care, and they're willing to do it. They're willing to text, take the risks, and feel like they can, it's just like multitasking. You know, have you ever been asked this question? That's the crazy question on a job interview. Are you good at multitasking? What does that mean? You're good at losing focus on one particular thing so you can multitask and have a little piece of your mind in one place, the other place, that place. You know, basically what they're saying is, hey, if we get rid of a lot of people and downsize, you're going to probably have to do the work of five people. So I hope you're good at multitasking. Or I hope you're good at doing a half-assed job. And I get it. There is an art to juggling. And, yeah, some people are good at juggling. But at the same time, you cannot convince me across the board that it's a good thing. It's just like the texting deal. Texting's great when you can get back to people quickly and someone's trying to hook up with you and you're meeting somebody, you're picking up someone from the airport, whatever. But the problem is driving and doing it. That's the deal. All right, we move on here in odds and ends to a couple of other things, including this story, a huge story about this man on a flight who was trying to sneak a smoke, and it was so bad that they scrambled the military jets. That old adage, better safe than sorry, right? And you had a diplomat from, from Qatar who was there, who was trying to sneak a cigarette in an airplane bathroom. It sparked a bomb scare. That's exactly what happened. So no explosives were found on the guy. They don't think he was trying to harm anybody. But the investigators were told the man was asked about the smell of smoke in the bathroom. He made a joke. There's no joking about this stuff, right? Made a joke that he'd been trying to light his shoes on fire. That would be a reference to the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, remember back in 2001. So they say the air marshals aboard the flight restrained him. He was questioned. The plane landed safely. The military jets were scrambled hours after the plane landed. He was still being interviewed by investigators. Who knows what the charges are that he'll face. I mean, you can't smoke on the plane, so they can certainly nail him for that. It had to be scary for the people, though. And then for the people waiting, and they don't see the flight, and they don't know what happened, and, you know, that's the thing that's frightening now, right? And what happened was they had to land at the Denver International Airport. They had two buses. They had carrying passengers from the flight, and inside the terminal, passengers from other flights picked up their luggage at baggage carriers. They didn't know there was an emergency, but on the other side of things, people knew there was. So it was a mad, chaotic scene for some people anyway. And the diplomat, the man's identity, he was confirmed as a diplomat, and it was found that he might, and if it is found that he might have committed a crime, of course, the smoking thing I think would be able to nail him anyway. They would have to decide whether to ask that country to waive his diplomatic immunity so he could be charged and tried. They could decline, then he would be booted from the U.S. There's a lot of people on that plane, 157 and then all the crew, too. So left, you know, just an easy little jaunt, left Reagan International after 5 o'clock and landed in Denver at about 7 o'clock. Oof, man. It, you know, first of all, again, no jokes. That was stupid. But you can't. You're not supposed to smoke on the planes. We all know that. They take you off the plane. So that's a no-no, and I think that they can pretty much nail him for that alone. All right, as we continue with odds and ends, basically means scatter shooting. There's so much to talk about that I want to squeeze some of this in here. 5 days before Toyota announced a massive recall, a U.S. public relations exec at the automaker warned people in an email, in an internal email only, we need to come clean about the accelerator problems. Isn't that nice? And, of course, this is leaked out. And, you know, what happened was the public affairs guy went on to write, we're not protecting our customers by keeping this quiet. The time to hide on this one is over. And he retired. So he retired, and this all happened, and the email suddenly resurfaces. But it also brings up that question. When did Toyota know things, and why didn't they come clean, like he says, with the safety problems, with the sticking pedals that were happening in the six different models? Because maybe some of that damage could have been saved, certainly for Toyota's image, and the fact that they were known previous to this for producing safe and reliable cars. Let's face it. But the email is not a good thing. Not a good thing. I mean, it is a good thing. It's a good thing for people who have lawsuits. It's a good thing to say, listen, they knew about this. Look, even a guy on the inside was telling them, you got to tell them. It was in the building. People knew, and they just didn't do it. So the European division also, at the very same time when this internal memo came out, they were telling their distributors that they had a production improvement and repair procedure to do something about these complaints by customers of the sticky accelerator pedals, and then the sudden increase when it would just take off, or sudden, you know, car acceleration, I guess is the best way to put it, and that was the floor mat problem. That means they just decided to try to shove it under the floor mat. they didn't want to bring it out. And I think I've mentioned this number before. The Transportation Department is saying a record $16.4 million, baby. That's the fine on Toyota for failing to let our government know about any of these safety problems and about the sticking pedals. But in the end, does Toyota lose the customer base, or do people still go out and buy Toyotas because they like the brand? And now they can get a really good deal, let's face it, 0% and whatever else goes along with that to buy a Toyota, if you're watching any of the commercials. And initially I would have said, I think they're going to maybe take a little bit of a hit. Their stock took a little bit of a hit. But in the end, the people that drive Toyotas is, I think they're loyal to Toyotas. And even if they hear all this stuff, you're clicked in. You've never heard the show before. You're listening to me ramble on and on about Toyota. I think people still want to get the cars that they want to get. I mean, hey, there was a time when everybody said, you know, hey, Toyota, reliable, reliable, reliable. And that's why they went out and bought them. But, you know, the customers, it's all about the customers. If they don't get the numbers, if they can't sell the cars, then you'll start to see the pinch across the board. Stay with us. We can count on the flip side.
Times are tough, and you got to stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at doobleshoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Dooble will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at doobleshoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I-shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage.
Fact.
Cirrhosis of the liver is the eighth leading cause of death among Americans.
Fact.
Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver.
Fact.
1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease.
Fact.
Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by a quarter of a million healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide.
Don't wait to protect your liver.
Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Topping the list, General Motors is making it official. They want you to know if you want a Hummer, you better hurry up because there's only 2,200 of them left. Right now, you can get a $6,000 rebate on a 2009 model year Hummer H2 full-size SUV. Don't I sound like a car salesman? H3 midsize SUV as well. So GM is offering $5,000 on the H3T and et cetera, et cetera. They've got a whole bunch of discounts they're offering you, or not really discounts, a chunk of cash off of a really expensive car. The Hummer H3 starts at about $31,000. GM sold fewer than 300 Hummers last month, and they've been, of course, suffering because of the poor fuel economy and the future of what's happening with a Hummer, because you get one and then, okay, make sure you have a good mechanic because now you don't have a dealership to go to. And, yeah, they've hit hard times, except for that I've seen probably about 15 on the road in this last week. So, yes, somebody is still interested in the Hummers. I guarantee that somebody will snap up the deals, and they will all be sold. I have to say, I don't know how many of you have ridden in one. Anybody out there? Anybody ridden in a Hummer? I did when I came to Dallas for a sports radio job. It was probably my first week into it. There was some kind of a promotion, and the station had a Hummer. So we went out to the promotion in it, and I didn't think it was all that great. I didn't think the ride was very comfortable, to be honest. It felt like a Jeep where there was almost too much room in it or something for me. I mean, it looks kind of cool, but it wasn't what I expected, I guess. I like a comfortable ride. I don't care if it's a big old truck or a teeny-weeny car, whatever it is. I just want to feel comfortable. And I didn't feel so great in that Hummer. I don't know. Donovan, have you ever ridden in a Hummer? I mean, you run around with a big-time crowd. Have you ever been in one?
I have to say I haven't. The closest I've been is my uncle who collects vintage Land Rovers, but I don't think it's quite the same thing.
No, but the Land Rovers, actually Land Rovers are comfortable. There's a great example he accidentally throws out. The Land Rover is much more comfortable to me than riding in that bumpy kind of bounce around boxy Hummer. So I never really got it, just other than to say, okay, this is my cool car and I'm driving around in it. But yeah, just no. I'm going to say no way. All right, some sad news here, and we can count. Brazil just massively slammed with a flood. Boy, picture this, when we had our floods here just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, even worse. I mean, so over the top with their flooding. It looked like the cars were boats. Yeah, it really did. And because of the heavy pounding rain in Rio de Janeiro and all the surrounding areas, you have the death toll at 102. And then there were people rescued. I mean, that's the good part of this. Almost 300 people were rescued from cars where they were trapped in mudslides. I mean, this was nasty stuff. You know how much rain they got? 11.3 inches within 24 hours. That's the key. So it wasn't over 2-3 days. I mean, we're talking 24 hours. Firefighters just nonstop. I mean, nonstop. Schools, of course, were closed and all that stuff. But the cars, so scary to look at. I mean, it looked like they were bumper cars that were purposely underwater. I don't see how anyone was even getting out of that. And they were able to rescue people by opening the doors, however it is that you do that. But they were able to get some people out, so I guess that's the good news. All right, bouncing back to something more pleasant, we'll say, is this California 13-year-old who wants to climb Mount Everest. Yeah, a 13-year-old boy wants to do that, and he's got this quest going on to reach the summits of the highest peaks on all seven continents. So if Jordan Romero does succeed, he'll become the youngest person to conquer the highest mountain. He's going to try to ascend. You know, that ascent is pretty, you're talking 29,035 feet. He's going to do it with his father. And I guess they're both, his father's pretty experienced in the outdoors, and they've been training for this. And when he was 9, he painted a school mural of the seven summits, and that was part of the whole deal. He was interested in doing it, and now has really conquered some of this. At 10, he was the youngest American to hit the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro, which is Africa's highest peak, and he's checked off all of them, four of the tallest peaks since then, in Alaska, Mount McKinley, which a lot of people say that's a pretty tough thing to do. I mean, remember, the whole thing with the climbing is the thin air. And good for him, I guess. The father's going to be there, there's only so much you can do. I mean, he has to be able to do it. He has to be able to have that endurance. And he's been training. He's been doing that kind of stuff. But boy, you got to have some serious do-re-mi if you're going to conquer it. I mean, obviously, his dad does, because the expedition is costing like $150,000 to be able to do that, because you've got to take some Sherpas up with you and all that sort of stuff. But at the summit, those temperatures, man, we're talking 100 degrees below zero and hurricane force winds that just, I mean, the cold, the lack of oxygen, all that sort of stuff. So bravo to him, though, for tackling that 13 years old. Whew. Man, when I was 13, I was definitely not thinking, I don't know about the rest of you, I was definitely not thinking about climbing the highest peaks on all seven continents. In fact, I was not thinking of climbing any mountains. We did some hikes, and that was good enough for me, but I wasn't daydreaming about it. And imagine what he'll be able to brag about if he hits this one, if he goes all the way to the top. That is pretty incredible. All right, this is a story that I have posted on my website, americatonight.net, and I got an avalanche of emails about it, and it is true. Somebody asked me if it was a belated April Fool's joke. But Spirit Airlines is going to start charging up to $45 for a carry-on bag. It doesn't start until August 1st. So that's not starting right now. It starts August 1st. And to be clear, if you have a purse, a laptop, that kind of stuff, it can go underneath the seat in front of you. You don't have to worry about that. That's not going to be part of the charge. But anything in the overhead would be. And I would think, you know, look at the size of some of the backpacks. And you know, I went into this whole thing in a previous show. There's going to be a lot of people that are stung by this. I would have to think that it would make an easy decision. Spirit Airline. Not a lot of great times to fly in the first place. I'm going to not fly with them. Because pretty much if you add up everything they nickel and dime you for, yeah, it's just going to be the same thing of traveling on any other airlines. So why not go with one of the big guys instead of the unknown airline? Yeah, forget about it. All right, and finally on We Can Count, very last thing, hurricanes. Yes, you know, they always put out the list of how many are predicted. It's the prognostication. So the 2010 Atlantic hurricane season is supposed to be above average and produce 8 hurricanes, 4 of them major. Yeah, 4 of them major. I don't like that. Yeah, not good. And this news comes out of course, Miami. The team forecast has a 69% chance of at least one major hurricane making landfall on the U.S. coastline in 2010. The long term, so you know this, average probability is 52%. And they've got, you know, storm research teams, and that's what I'm talking about. And they say the 6-month season beginning on June 1st would likely see 15 tropical storms, too. 15 tropical storms. I like it when they tell you all the names of the storms and how do they come up with these names. That'd be fun to submit a list of names. If you've got any good ones, send them to me at americatonight.net.